Picture a local coffee shop owner, right in the heart of Fredericksburg. You know, the exact type of place.
Oh, yeah, totally.
The espresso machine is hissing. There's that like rich smell of roasted beans in the air.
The morning rush is steady.
Exactly. The morning rush is completely steady. The line is literally out the door. From behind the counter, everything looks perfect.
Right, business as usual.
Yeah. But then the owner finally gets a minute to breathe. They sit down at a corner table, pull out their laptop, and check their website
Uh-oh.
analytics. And their stomach just drops. They're staring at this sudden, just inexplicable 40% drop in website visits over the last few months.
Wow, 40% is massive.
It's huge. And nothing about their coffee changed. Nothing about their location or their staff changed.
So what's happening?
Well, they put out their phone, they open up a search app, and they type in best coffee near me. And the harsh truth just stares them right in the face.
The AI overviews.
Yep. AI overviews are giving users the exact answer right there on the search results page. The AI is telling people where the shop is, what the hours are, what the most popular pastry is.
And completely skipping the coffee shop's actual website.
Entirely skipping it. The physical traffic is still walking through the door for now, but the digital traffic just vanished.
It is a truly terrifying moment for anyone running a business right now. It's, the sudden realization that the internet you grew up with has changed.
Right.
The internet you likely built your entire business model on has fundamentally shifted underneath your feet.
I mean, I'm looking at the sources for this deep dive, and I'm just feeling this deep, visceral frustration on behalf of these business owners.
Yeah, it's incredibly jarring.
Because it feels like the rules of the internet just changed overnight without any warning. They did everything they were supposed to do.
They played by the old rules.
Exactly. They wrote the long blog posts, they built the mobile-friendly site, they got the backlinks, and now the AI is just eating their traffic before a user ever has the chance to click.
Which is incredibly frustrating, but that's exactly what our mission is for you today.
Right, for everyone listening.
We want to help you understand this massive shift into what's being called the zero-click era of search.
Okay, let's unpack this. We know the traffic is dropping, but why is the traditional digital pipeline suddenly drying up, even for businesses that are doing like everything perfectly?
Well, the frustration is completely warranted, but we have to recognize that the search results page is no longer the finish line for a consumer.
Okay.
It is the starting gun. The blue links we all spent a decade fighting over are being pushed down the page.
Or just ignored entirely.
Exactly. We are moving out of the era of search engine optimization and into an era of answer engine optimization, or AEO.
AEO, okay.
And the most crucial piece of data to understand the scale of this comes from a 2025 SparkToro study.
Oh, right. I saw this in the research. The numbers are wild.
They analyzed billions of queries and found that 60% of Google searches now end without a single click.
Wait, 60%.
60%.
That is a staggering number to wrap your head around. More than half of all searches just end right there on the results page.
Yep, the user gets what they need and they close the app.
That's crazy.
Let's look at how this plays out in a practical scenario. Say you wake up to a leaky pipe in your kitchen. Water is going everywhere.
Panic mode.
Total panic. You aren't going to sit down at a desktop computer and browse five different plumbing websites to compare their about pages.
No, you're grabbing your phone.
Right. You pull out your phone and you ask Gemini or ChatGPT who to call for an emergency plumber in your area.
Okay.
The AI processes that request, evaluates the local options in a fraction of a second, and spits out a single recommended business with a phone number right in the chat.
And you just tap the number.
You tap the number, you call the plumber, and they come out to fix the pipe.
And the user never even saw a blue link. They never once loaded the plumber's website.
Exactly. The transaction happened, the business got a paying customer, and real money changed hands.
But the website traffic.
That interaction never registers on the plumber's website analytics dashboard. As far as the website is concerned, the traffic is zero.
Oh, wow. So if you're a business owner and you're only measuring your success by website visits, you're going to think your business is dying even while your phone is ringing off the hook.
Exactly. It's a total paradigm shift.
So we've established that traditional SEO pages aren't capturing this new behavior. But if AI is essentially bypassing our websites to give users the answer directly, how does answer engine optimization actually solve this?
Well, the sources we're looking at compare traditional SEO with this new AEO strategy, and the differences in how you actually execute them are night and day.
So they require entirely different approaches.
Yes, think about traditional SEO. Your primary goal was to rank on page one.
Right, get to the top of Google.
To do that, you built these incredibly long-form web pages, you stuffed them with keywords, and your ultimate success metric was your click-through rate.
Yeah, that was the standard playbook.
AEO flips that entire model. With AEO, your primary goal is to be the single-sided source in those AI-generated answers.
Okay.
And an AI does not want to read a 2,000-word marketing blog just to find your hours of operation. The content format needs to be direct answer, frequently asked questions.
It needs to be like dense, structured prose.
Exactly.
Wait, hold on. I want to make sure I'm looking at this the right way.
Sure.
If AEO is just about formatting content so the AI can extract the answer and cite it, then it isn't actually replacing traditional SEO at all.
Oh, not at all.
We still need the website foundation to exist, right? We're just adding a new translation layer on top of it.
Yes. That is an incredibly important distinction. It's an aha moment for a lot of people. You cannot abandon your traditional digital presence.
Because the AI still needs somewhere to pull from.
Exactly. The AI still needs a destination to crawl to find information about you. AEO is essentially a required new layer that sits right on top of your healthy SEO foundation.
So you're building a bridge between your marketing copy and the language model.
Perfectly said.
Speaking of which, if the language model is essentially blind to our marketing fluff, how do we physically code a website so the AI can actually read it and understand it?
Good question.
Because the sources specifically talk about something called structured data as the technical requirement for this.
Right. So AI models are incredibly sophisticated, but they lack visual context.
What do you mean?
Well, when you or I look at a website, we see a big, bold header, we see a photo of a storefront, and we inherently understand what the business is.
So humans can infer that instantly.
But an AI parses data in text nodes. It needs explicit mathematical declarations, not just inferences.
Ah, okay.
This is where JSON-LD schema markup comes in.
JSON-LD schema. That sounds intense.
It sounds worse than it is. For a local business, we're primarily talking about three types of schema. Local business schema, FAQ page schema, and service schema.
JSON-LD still sounds incredibly dense to me. Is this essentially like putting a nutrition label on the back of my website?
Yes. It is a lot like a nutrition label. Let's actually take that analogy a step further.
Okay, let's hear it.
Think about a box of cereal in the grocery store aisle. As a human, you look at the flashy marketing copy on the front of the box.
Right, you see the bright colors, the cartoon mascot, the huge letters that say heart healthy.
Exactly. That front of the box is your website's homepage and your traditional SEO. But the AI is not a human consumer.
It doesn't care about the mascot.
Not at all. The AI immediately grabs the box, flips it around to the back, and reads the rigid, verified ingredients on the black and white nutrition label.
Oh, wow.
It wants your exact business name, your exact address, your exact service offerings, and it wants all of it written in a standardized, machine-readable format.
That makes perfect sense. But let's ground this in reality for you, the person listening right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
If I'm running like a landscaping company, am I supposed to suddenly learn how to write invisible machine-readable code on the back of my digital cereal box?
Not at all. You don't need to be a software engineer to implement this.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, most modern website builders, whether you're using WordPress or Squarespace or whatever, have simple plugins for schema markup.
So it's mostly automated.
Pretty much. You literally just install the tool, fill out a plain text form with your business name, your address, and your services, and the plugin automatically writes and injects the JSON-LD code into your website's header for you.
Okay, but what happens if I just ignore this?
What do you mean?
Like, what if I decide I don't want to mess with plugins and I leave the nutrition label completely blank?
Well, here's the thing. If the nutrition label is invalid or missing entirely, the AI simply puts the box back on the shelf.
It just ignores you.
Completely. An AI language model has to be absolutely confident in the facts it provides to the user to avoid hallucinating.
Right, because hallucinations are terrible for their brand.
Exactly. If it has to guess your service area by trying to parse a rambling paragraph on your about page, its mathematical confidence score drops.
And Google doesn't want low confidence answers.
No. In fact, Google's own documentation explicitly states that pages with valid structured data are significantly more likely to be cited in their AI overviews.
Okay, so the back-end coding is handled by giving the AI explicit facts in a format it trusts.
Yes.
But how do humans fit into this equation? If we're optimizing for machines that only read structured data, are we just ignoring the actual paragraphs on the website?
No, the actual words on the page matter more than ever, which brings us to the second pillar of AEO.
Which is?
Conversational content architecture.
Okay, unpack that.
You have to remember what AI assistants actually are. They are large language models. They're trained on vast oceans of human dialogue.
Right.
Because of that, they naturally prefer to pull their cited answers from content that is written exactly the way real people ask questions.
Wait, this is a wild paradox. We have to stop writing like corporate robots in order to appeal to the literal robots crawling our sites.
Yes. It is deeply ironic, but it's absolutely true. The most effective strategy here is building a dedicated, frequently asked questions page on your site.
And then wrapping that page in the FAQ page schema we discussed earlier.
Precisely.
Let's compare the old way and the new way on this.
Okay.
Under traditional SEO, a business owner might create a page titled, you know, Accounting Services Virginia.
Sure. Very standard.
And the page is just 500 words of vague, repetitive marketing speak about how their accountants provide synergistic financial solutions for enterprise growth.
Ugh, yeah, we've all read that page.
Right. But that kind of fluff is virtually useless to an AI, right?
It is entirely useless. When an AI summarizes that page, the fluff gets stripped away, and the model is left with almost zero factual density to cite.
Wow. But if they pivot to conversational content,
yeah,
they would build a page that plainly asks the question, what does a bookkeeper do for a small business in Virginia?
Yes.
And then directly, factually, answers that specific question in the very next sentence.
Exactly. That provides the dense, factual node the AI is actively hunting for.
That's another huge aha moment right there.
It really is. When Gemini or ChatGPT reads a page, it's looking for a direct match to a user's prompt. If your answer is specific, factual, and locally relevant, the language model can extract it effortlessly without risking a hallucination.
Okay, let's bring this focus down to a specific regional opportunity for you, the listener, in Virginia. Because the sources point out that AI search isn't just a broad national game. It's intensely local.
It is hyper-local. When a user asks an AI for a recommendation, the model weighs geographic proximity and regional relevance very heavily.
Which makes sense.
And Virginia actually presents a fascinating battlefield for this transition. If you look at the Interstate 95 corridor running from Fredericksburg straight down to Richmond, that stretch is highly competitive.
Oh yeah, it's packed.
It's densely populated and dominated by older, established businesses that spent years optimizing for broad metro searches.
But the sources identify a massive gap in the area's immediately surrounding that corridor, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a first mover advantage waiting to be claimed.
Massive advantage. The surrounding, slightly less dense areas are just wide open for AI citations.
Where specifically?
We're specifically looking at counties like Caroline, King George, Essex, and Spotsylvania.
Okay.
These represent prime, underserved targets. If you run a business anywhere near that region, you need to explicitly include those exact county names in your schema markup under the area served field.
So don't just use a blanket term.
Right. Do not just use a blanket term like Northern Virginia. You need to explicitly declare Caroline County.
Okay, I'm going to put myself in the shoes of a skeptical business owner for a second.
Go for it.
Let's say I run a roofing company in Spotsylvania. I hear all of this, but wait, I already have a Google business profile.
Right.
I claimed it, I optimized it, I uploaded photos of my trucks last year.
Yeah.
Isn't my Google Map listing enough to show up locally? Why do I need to worry about schema coding and conversational content when Google already knows exactly where I am?
I hear that exact objection constantly, and it makes logical sense from a human perspective.
Right. It seems like plenty.
But look, here is the reality of the zero-click era. Having a Google business profile is baseline table stakes. It is no longer enough on its own.
Really?
Yes. Your service area, your business categories, and your NAP data.
NAP data.
Sorry, that stands for name, address, and phone number.
Oh, got it.
All of that data on your Google profile must be character for character identical to the schema data living on your website.
Wait, what does character for character actually mean in practice? Like, if my website footer spells out the word avenue, and my Google profile abbreviates it to AVE period, Why would that matter? A
But
human knows those are the same thing.
a human knows that, yes, but an AI language model does not know anything in the way we understand knowledge.
Okay.
Large language models are essentially probability engines. They calculate the likelihood that two pieces of information represent the same
Oh,
entity.
I see where this is going.
Yeah, when the model sees Avenue spelled out on your site and AVE period on your directory listing, it cannot mathematically guarantee they are the identical business.
That is wild.
That tiny discrepancy causes a drop in its mathematical certainty.
And if the certainty drops below a certain threshold?
The AI just drops you entirely to avoid giving the user a bad answer.
Wow. So NAP consistency literally equals AI trust.
Exactly.
It isn't about whether you provide the best real-world roofing service. The AI cites the business with the cleanest, most mathematically consistent digital signal.
It's a cold reality, but yes, the digital signal is the only metric the probability engine can evaluate. Discrepancies destroy trust.
Can you actually show me what this looks like on the screen for a user? Because we've covered a lot of technical architecture, and I really want to visualize the actual result.
Sure, let's look closely at the mock-up provided in the sources. Imagine a user types the specific query, "Best corporate tax advisor, Caroline County, VA."
Okay, a highly intentional local search.
Right. If we look at the results without AEO implemented by any local firms, the AI processes that query and generates a totally generic, unhelpful overview.
What does it say?
It essentially tells the user, well, for corporate tax advisory in Caroline County, you may want to contact a larger CPA firm in Richmond or visit the IRS website for tax guidelines.
Ugh, that's terrible.
It is. The local businesses are invisible to the AI because they lack structured data.
Which is an awful experience for the user, and
Yeah.
just completely devastating for any tax advisor actually sitting in an office in Caroline County.
Exactly. But if we look at the exact same query with AEO implemented, the outcome changes completely.
Okay, what happens?
The AI overview pops up and explicitly states, "For corporate tax advisory in Caroline County, Everzient Counts LLC in Ladysmith, Virginia provides CFO advisory and tax planning."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the AI explicitly names them, cites them as the source, and provides their contact info directly pulling from their validated structured data and their regional FAQ content.
That is a staggering competitive advantage. You just bypass the entire traditional search page.
You really do.
But it raises a really practical issue about measurement.
How so?
Well, if I do all of this work, and the user just reads that AI overview and calls my office without ever clicking through to my website, my analytics dashboard is still going to look completely flat.
That's true.
So how do I actually know if my strategy is working?
This requires a fundamental shift in how we define analytics. The old success metrics have evolved.
So what's the new metric?
Instead of obsessing over organic clicks and website sessions, you now have to measure citation tracking.
Citation tracking.
You need to monitor your overall share of voice in local AI queries. You have to start using tools that track how often your brand is the one being mentioned when someone prompts an AI assistant in your region.
That is your new benchmark for growth.
Exactly.
That reminds me, we need to turn all of this theory into a practical triage plan for you, the listener. Because honestly, looking at this whole landscape could feel incredibly overwhelming for someone who just wants to run their daily operations.
Oh, absolutely.
The sources outline five specific action steps, and I want to frame them as a strategic timeline. We need to separate the immediate fires you need to put out this week from the content strategy you can build next month.
Breaking it down is essential. If you try to restructure your entire digital presence in one afternoon, you'll just get paralyzed and do nothing.
So let's start with triage. What is the immediate week one priority to stop the bleeding?
Week one is purely about fixing your back-end technical signals. First, you need to add local business schema to your homepage.
Just the whole page for now.
Yes. As we discussed, use a plugin or follow Google's structured data documentation. Ensure your name, address, phone number, and that crucial area served field are filled out with county-level specificity.
They'll be vague.
Right. And immediately validate that code using Google's free rich results test to make sure your new nutrition label is readable.
Got it. And the second part of week one is auditing that NAP consistency across the board.
Yes, critically important.
You need to pull up your website, your Google Business profile, your Yelp page, any local chamber of commerce directories you're in. Make sure the name, address, and phone number are absolutely character for character identical everywhere they appear.
Fix those abbreviations so the probability engine trusts you.
That is week one. You are just cleaning up the raw data signals the AI is ingesting.
Exactly.
Okay, once the back-end code is clean and consistent, how do we fix the actual content for month one.
Month one is about building your conversational content architecture.
The FAQs.
Right. You need to build a dedicated frequently asked questions page. The source material strongly recommends starting with at least 8 robust questions.
And don't use this as an excuse to write marketing fluff.
Please don't. Sit down, think about the exact questions your customers ask you on the phone every single day, write those questions out plainly, and answer them directly.
And inject that regional context into the answers, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if someone asks about building permits, mention the specific Virginia counties you operate in.
That's a great tip, yes. And after the content is live, you go back to your Google Business profile and update your service area settings so the map perfectly matches the schema you wrote in week one.
Bring the two systems into perfect alignment.
Exactly. And finally, step 5. You have to set a relentless operational goal to reach 40-plus Google reviews with an 80% response rate.
I really want to dig into that last point. Why doesn't AI care about human reviews?
Because review volume and recency are massive inputs into how an AI selects a local citation.
Really?
Yes. The AI reads those reviews, and more importantly, the timestamps on those reviews, to confirm that your business is currently active and trusted by the local community.
Oh, that makes sense.
If you have a 5-star rating, but your last review is from 3 years ago, the AI assumes your business might be closed or irrelevant, and its confidence score plummets.
So what does this all mean when we zoom out and look at the whole picture? It means the landscape of the internet has completely shifted under our feet. The days of fighting tooth and nail for a blue hyperlink on page one are fading fast.
Very fast.
You are now fighting to be the verified, trusted answer living inside an AI assistant's brain.
And the window of opportunity to establish that conversational authority is right now, today.
Especially for local businesses, right? Because the vast majority of your competitors haven't even realized the game has changed yet.
They're still fighting for blue links.
Exactly. I want to leave you with a final provocative thought to mull over as you start updating your site.
What's that?
Well, if 2026 is the year, businesses are fighting just to be cited in AI overviews when a user actively types in a question. Think about where this technology goes next.
Oh, the proactive shift.
Exactly. By 2027, AI search is highly likely to shift from reactive to proactive.
Meaning it won't even wait for a prompt.
Right. The AI won't wait for a user to pull out their phone and search for an emergency plumber. The AI will notice a smart home water sensor detecting a leak, and it will proactively suggest a trusted local business to the homeowner before they even finish processing the problem.
That is incredibly sci-fi, but it's coming.
It really is. The businesses that establish their clean, structured data and their conversational authority right now are going to be the only ones the AI knows well enough to predictively recommend in the future.
That's a powerful realization.
Think back to that coffee shop owner sitting in Fredericksburg. The ultimate goal isn't just to show up when someone desperately searches for coffee.
No.
The goal is for the AI to understand their shop's data so perfectly that it suggests a latte to a user the exact moment they step off the morning train.
The zero-click era isn't going anywhere.
It's not. It is time to start building your AI nutrition label today.